Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a very rare episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila. And today we're going to talk about keeping your business small and profitable.
That's not even the news. The news is that we're going to try to keep this episode to 30 minutes. That's the challenge. I've got a timer I just hit.
All right. Wonderful.
We're going to see how that goes. But
wonderful. So I'm getting over being sick. I'm on like day five. I spent $80 yesterday to have somebody tell me I have the common cold.
That's exciting.
So a short episode will be good because that's about as long as my voice will probably last. But I think this is a great little topic that we have here. And it is relatively a simple concept. But Mark, why don't you take us away with your inspiration?
Yeah, so we've gone through half a dozen different titles getting ready for this episode, but basically it's, you know, keeping your business small and profitable. You know, when I think about, you know, a side hustle that I'm involved in, that my friends are, you know, a lot of us aren't really looking for, you know, we don't want a $2 million business or a $5 million business. Cool if it happens, but that's not really the goal. And we know that a lot of you are in the same boat. You know, for example, we're asking a few customers to do some testimonial videos for us. And so far, I've talked to three nice folks, great customers, and two of them we have to do this after five because they've got a day job, or we've got to do it on the weekend. And we figure you're probably just like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the idea of a business or owning a business is very different for all different types of people. You know, so for some folks, it's, well, why are you going to start a business if you're not going to try to make it as big and profitable as you can?
Yeah.
Right. And other folks, that concept is a nightmare. You know, their idea of owning a business is them by themselves. Literally alone, you know,
right,
with no other help or minimal help. And then every single thing in between that. And they're all the right way to do business. So I think it's a matter of, you know, figuring out if you're this type of a person, if you would like to keep your business small in size, whether it's just by yourself or it's just, you and your spouse, or it's you and your family, or you and three friends, whatever it might be. If that's the size that you want to be and you want to kind of keep it at that size, that's the goal of this podcast, while also maximizing profits, making the most money you can out of it and getting the most out of that small business.
Yeah, I like that. I like what you've got here. And that's, first of all, you know, of course, it's always best to write this stuff down. It's really all about is, what is your dream? What's your goal for your business or your side hustle? And it doesn't even have to be a dream. I'm doing air quotes right now, right? It doesn't have to be a dream. Your dream could be to go on a vacation every year, or your dream could be to buy a second home or pay off your current house or put in a pool, you know, and your business could be a means to an end. You know, but you really want to define those goals so you can work towards them instead of find yourself a year later in a business that you don't want.
Yeah. And I know that that's been the case for a few friends of mine over the years. And one in particular I can think of, he started something 15 years ago. And it grew and it was going pretty well. And he was happy, you know, money was in the bank, you know, and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden he was just called me up one day and he's just like, dude, I hate everything that I do.
Oh, no.
And I was like, why? You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm managing employees. I don't want to do that. I'm managing this. I don't want to do that. I'm fighting this. I don't want to fight that. He's like, when I started this, he's like, I liked it because it was kind of me and my best friend roommate at the time. It was our business. And that's, we were having fun every day. And he's like, I've lost all of that. And so he reset kind of with a new and different business, knowing that the goal was to kind of keep it that way. Yeah, and you gotta plan for that.
I think that's a common theme because, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of videos about, you know, online courses and starting an online course and things like that, starting a consulting business. And almost universally, all of those people that ended up doing courses online, they started with their own marketing practice and just hated it. They, you know, within like a year, as soon as they got past just a few customers that they really liked, they ended up hating the business. So again, they pivoted to something else. So if you're looking at, or if you're already in the custom apparel business, let's see if we can figure out, you know, how to establish your goals and how to plan your business so you don't end up hating it.
Yeah, I know I sold custom apparel equipment for a long time. And the dream was, it's a very small amount of dreams that people have in this business. And especially when I'm talking about mom and pop small business style folks, right?
Side there are businesses from the home.
There's businesses out there that are huge and they're adding custom apparel to a already large business or they want to grow that size. But but when we're talking on the small business side, which is probably who's listening now since they realize what the topic of the podcast is, it's always I'd like to have a little more money. I'd like to quit my day job. I'd like to have a business to pass on to my kids. I became an electrician and, you know, I just don't really like that. My knees aren't what they used to be, crawling in attics, you know, all these things. So if that's kind of why you started this, you know, you remember that and then figure out what your goal is. You know, do you want to make $40,000 in profit a year as a side hustle?
Right.
Do you want this to be a family business that profits $250,000 a year? And that's your income.
Notice that Mark Vila is making a distinction between sales and profits.
Right? Okay.
So, you know, it's how much money do you want to make in your bank account, not how much revenues that you want.
Right.
Right? Not the sales dollars. You know, you've got to start with. I want an extra $40,000 in my bank account every year, or I want $2,000 a month extra in my bank account. So you can start to do the math and okay, how many shirts do I have to sell, you know, at what price to get to those amounts?
Yeah. And I think that, and this is why I like saying the word profit in here is because this is going to, there's other goals tied to what the dream of the business is, right? So in the one example I said, you want a family business that profits $250,000 a year, right? Why? Because you and your family can live off that very nicely. It's a good amount of money to be bringing in for the lifestyle you want to live. And that allows you to grow. And you can also, you can grow that with inflation over time, slowly and you know, 250 to 260, you know, and you're kind of just going up over time, but your family and your life is living that way. It also might be a dollar amount that you want to retire.
Yeah.
Like you're a fireman, firewoman, and you make a certain amount of money and your retirement comes at a certain point in time and you're going to want to retire, but still make money. And you like the creative outlet of the t-shirt business. You think that apparel is just very interesting. So you say, I need to make $75,000 a year in profit. So when I retire, I have that as my new income. So
I like that. Just to set the record straight, it's firefighter.
Firefighter?
Firefighter. That's it.
I wish that
non-gender specific firefighting individuals. you're right. I like what you said. The goal for the family business. One of the things that I talk to people a lot about recently is just their goal is replacement income. And they don't say it like that. What they say is, I'm a nurse, I'm exhausted, I want to do something different. I want to build this business up to replace my job as an electrician, you know, or my job as an accountant or something like that. Actually, talked to an accountant just the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Say, I hate the work. I want to buy an embroidery machine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's what these young to mid to even older parts of life, when you're in your, say, 30s, 40s, and 50s, which a lot of folks listening are probably, you know, 30, 40, 50, is they went to school for accounting because their parents or uncle was an accountant, or they knew that the money in accounting was good when they went to school because they wanted to make good money. And then they just realized that they weren't passionate about it.
Yeah.
Some accountants are passionate about numbers. You know, others did it because it was the job. And now you'd like to do something you're passionate about. So what you don't want is you don't want the business to get to a point where you become an accountant again. You're just you're just counting different things, right? You want to own a t-shirt business where you make shirts.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Just define the dream, write it down, set certain goals. You know, I think goal setting is always in almost every podcast, you know, we bring that up, but it's because every single book I've read, podcast I've listened to, no matter who it is, they pretty much always say you should have some goals.
Yeah. And this is the intentional thing you have to do. You're intending to have a certain size business that supports your lifestyle or your goals. And you have to have that lifestyle or goals defined.
Yep. Yep.
So let's jump into some of these, because you've got some great stuff in here just to kind of bracket your business. Some of it, you know, supports it up to a certain level. How do I get to $40,000 in profit? And some of it says, like, how do I stay there? How do I optimize your business to hit those goals specifically and do it as efficiently as possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, the next thing on the list after this is tracking your time. And this is, it's hard to do in a way because it, you know, you have to think about it and you have to pay attention and you can get lost in the day. But how much time do you spend talking to customers, delivering orders, running production, doing maintenance, doing accounting? You know, you've got to know how much time all of this took. So if you're working a side hustle and you're doing this, 10 hours a week, right? Or you're doing it full-time and it's 40 hours a week, whatever it is. At the end of the month, you've reached a certain amount of income, revenue, profit. Yeah. How much time did you spend doing all of those things to get to that number?
Yeah. And I think this is really important. I just read a little blurb in one of the many business books that I happen to be reading right now. Was about, you know, the... In the 80s, the Japanese manufacturing production methods were super efficient. And it started to be imported into the United States because they could make cars three times faster than we could. And they did that not because they had more people on the assembly line or even better assembly lines. What they had was every single workspace and action was optimized for the best performance. So they weren't reaching extra places for tools. They were never leaving the line to go get something. You know, I mean, like everything was designed for each individual person to do their best. And it resulted in that kind of improvement. So you've got an opportunity here. If you track your time, if you spend your time like, okay, these are specifically the things that I do in the 3 hours I have after work, or every Saturday morning or Sunday morning or whatever you're doing, these are specific things I have to do. Talk to customers, I'm delivering orders, I'm running production, I'm maintaining equipment, I'm doing accounting. You need to know when you're doing all these things so you can, and how long they take, so you can address each one individually, make it easier and more efficient so you can make more money every day or every hour with the time that you've got.
Right. All right. And one of the things I would recommend to do in regards to seeing how this works is watch some Gordon Ramsay stuff on TV. Watch some Hell's Kitchen if you haven't already, and watch some Kitchen Nightmares. And I think what the two lessons you're going to learn on both of these things is when you watch Hell's Kitchen, you're going to look at the kitchen that they run. And they don't talk about this on the show, but you'll notice it.
Yeah.
Is there's the pasta station. And if you look at the station, they've got the right pots clean right there. They've got the right type of stuff. The pasta is in the fridge underneath there. You know, like they're not running across all the, I mean, they'll dramatize and show some of that, but if you really pay attention to the snippets, there, that little space is organized. It's efficient. Yeah. So they can, but it only takes how much pasta, 2 minutes, you know,
right,
ready to go. And in Kitchen Nightmares, you'll see the same thing. There'll be a restaurant with five orders, five tables. Not a single meal has gone out. They can't keep up. And then you go, and then they show in the back and you just see, you know, people running everywhere. You've got somebody prepping, cutting up chicken when it should have been done hours ago, things like that. So when you've got a business with, say, three people and you're going to all work full time, you know, that's 120 hours of work a week. Is that right?
Yep.
So if you're all working 40 hours. So if you have to track where all 120 of those hours went, so you can find efficient spots.
Or maybe even more importantly, you've got 4 hours a night,
mm-hmm.
you know, after your regular day job, and it's just you.
Yeah.
You know, if you spend, and you know you do, because I do, you spend the first 45 minutes just trying to find all your stuff. You know, you're rolling the embroidery machine out. You're trying to find the order that you're supposed to be working on. You can't find the file digitized. You know, you can't lay hands on the blanks. Like, this is a big deal. This mm-hmm. You're going to find this is a significant amount of time. And if you're going to meet that $40,000 goal or that $250,000 goal or that quit your job goal, like, you've got to be able to come home after work, maybe have dinner, kiss the kids, walk into your production area and just start making stuff. You know, you don't have time to mess around.
If you're looking to work 12 hours a week on a side hustle after work and between, you know, between work and such, that's, you know, if you waste 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, you know, that's 2-3 of those hours. You're talking, you could be wasting 15-20% of your time just kind of being all over the place, not being organized. Or just like one of the things that I find, and I've done this too, is I'll fiddle with something for a while. Like, I'll fiddle with a spreadsheet for a while or a piece of art.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Just fiddle with it. And earlier today, I think we ran into this at Cold Jesse. So we were, we're talking about artwork for a trade show coming up, right?
Right.
And yes, yesterday there was like 30 minutes worth of comments from 4 or 5 people and what we should do. And then again, this morning, there was a bunch of comments. And I looked at it and I was like, we've gotten nowhere. We've done nothing. Right. We're all fiddling with an idea. So I said, 1, 2, 3, here's the ideas. Here's what we're going to do. And then someone came in and said, well, I have this idea too. Okay, great. You run with that idea then. You know, let's just move forward.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll just fiddle and you don't
get anything. Choosing artwork for the rest of our lives.
Choosing artwork for the rest of your life. And then what happens is you just never actually, you never will reach your goal. Because in order to reach and surpass your goals, you've got to actually take the time that you're planning on using and use it to get towards the goal rather than just pushing a button on and off over and over again.
You know what? I'm going to, I think we should move on because time is burning. I never realized how much we yammer on. We should really try to be more efficient.
Good.
I like what you said here next. The next thing that we're going to talk about is don't be cheap. And that's not just a self-serving statement, right? It's, it's take out the trash.
Don't be cheap is next, but we can, it doesn't have to be in that order.
Okay. Let's do don't be cheap then.
Don't be cheap.
I feel very strongly about don't be cheap.
I do too.
Because we say this all the time, specifically this example. Don't waste time shopping around to save money on thread. It's dumb. Don't obsess about how much your replacement toner is for your white toner printer if you're making $4,000 a month in profit on t-shirts. Do the maintenance, don't skimp, buy the better heat press up front, you know, because it will save you time down the road, even though it may cost a little bit. Not only you've got a pay for software if it helps, don't trip over pennies to save dollars, something like that. Don't trip over dollars to save pennies.
We did a podcast on don't trip over pennies.
We did.
Like five.
Which years. I've never done before. They're pretty low to the ground.
No, but you know what? I slide my feet a lot. So I.
Do
I,
you?
Yeah, I do. But that's terrible. I've stopped because I listened to our episode from like 5 years ago.
Just around the house.
Yeah. So what will happen is we'll have somebody say like, can't I open up the waste ink container for my Roland BN20 and take the sponge out and wring it out and clean it really good and then dry it and put it back in. And then put it back and glue it shut and then put it back in my machine. Can I just do that? And I would say Roland doesn't say to do that. So I'm not going to advocate for that, but I mean, in theory, it sounds like you could, but how much time are you going to spend in the sink and drying and getting ink all over your hands and on the floor, cleaning it up, you know, gluing it shut, making sure it's shut. It doesn't fit in right because you didn't glue it right. So you got to fix it. Like you spent to save like 30, 40 bucks.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to the time thing. You know, you spend an hour fiddling to save $30 when you've got a production run waiting to happen. You've got your printers waiting to print money.
Yes.
And instead, you know, you're looking to save 30 bucks.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. And I understand that part of being in business and doing well is obviously not wasting money too, right? So you don't want to just, you know, you don't want to just throw caution to the wind everywhere, but there is a healthy balance. And trying to save 50 cents on a cone of thread is like, where is that going to get you? And the time it takes to find another website, find another dealer, match the color of thread up, and all in all, in the end, maybe you saved even $50. Right. But, you know, there's all these other unknowns that come into place. And in the end, if your goal is to make $40,000 a year, what's 50 bucks?
Yeah.
Like what's 50 bucks out of 40 grand?
Yeah. I know. And that's a new way to look at things for a lot of people, but really there is a difference between working for yourself and running your own business and working for somebody else. So you've definitely got to be willing to spend the money and just don't be cheap where it makes sense.
Yeah, when it makes sense. And then I put pay for software when it helps too. Like a software like FreshBooks or QuickBooks or any of these accounting software. A lot of them will sync together between like your payment processor and that. So you spend like 10 bucks a month on this software. And when your customer pays you with a credit card, it just recognizes who paid you.
Yeah.
And it sends it right to that customer's account and it marks the invoice as paid. You're done. You spent zero time for 10 bucks a month. And yeah, I mean, 100 bucks a year, again, it adds up. But in that time that you spent, you know, going through the credit card or doing it on your phone app and then, you know, trying to tie it all together, you can waste a whole bunch of time. And it's just really important to not get stuck in this cheat trap, which will kill you on time and so many other things.
But that's another episode. Great episode title. Avoid the cheat trap. So you've also got another section here that is called clean house and take out the trash. And the first line is one of my favorite things in life. And that is don't work with stressful customers. Just don't work with them. There are tons of people who want to buy custom embroidery, custom t-shirts. There's a lot of people that will pay good money for good quality work. Find nice ones. You know, I'm not saying you have to jettison somebody that's half your $40,000 a year in profit, you know, but you should make moves to be ready to jettison them. You know, it's not worth it. It'll take up a lot of your time, take up your emotional energy, and will not get you closer to your goals.
Yeah. So, you know, it's important to work with the right type of customers. These means customers that are the right type of profitability for you, that allow you to work efficiently, that fit the dream. You know, if you want to work with us, because this is also not just about time and money and profit, but it's also about the kind of philosophical dream too. I quit being an accountant because it was boring, because I want to make t-shirts for people in the fishing who are into fishing. Right. I want to make fishing shirts
or noodling.
I want to design. I want to talk about fishing. I want to make apparel for fishing. I want to put a fishing shirt on and go fishing with people who bought my shirts. Right.
Right.
And then it turns out that through word of mouth, you got some big attorney firm that they want you to do custom embroidery for them on shirts, and great, you know, but they're also, I mean, you have to work with attorneys all day. That wasn't the dream. The dream was to work with,
it's terrible,
to work with Fisher.
Nobody's dream, man. I wish I could work with attorneys all day. No offense, guys, if you're an attorney. Your next line here, which is only take profitable jobs. And I'm always amazed at the number of people that will take jobs that they either break even or lose money because they think they need to, you know, or maybe sometimes it's just to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, take whatever your goal is and just paste it above your phone or your computer monitor. So you do a little gut check, you know, when you're adding up the job and how long it's going to take you, what it's going to cost and how much your money it's going to make, look up at that number and see if those two things relate.
Yeah. And that's it. And if they don't make sense, then you just don't take that type of job again. Don't charge that money, whatever it is. And, you know, it's a balancing act.
Yep.
It's a balancing act. And the last one I just put on here was don't work with technology that doesn't fit the plan. So somebody might tell you it's a really good idea to get a certain type of printer or a certain type of machine or whatever it might be, or you heard that doing this type of work is great. But if the work that it takes and the profitability that it takes and the size of the business doesn't fit, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you might find that like, well, listen, I started to do it this way. Screen printing doesn't fit it. It doesn't fit the space. It doesn't fit the time. It doesn't fit this. It doesn't fit that. I'm really more in the lines of, you know, sublimation or whatever it might be.
Yeah. I think that's sound advice.
So I think the next one is kind of ties all this up together in a bit, okay, but it's just be efficient everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, and this, it ties up everything we said, but your printer should be the right amount of distance from your table and your heat press, so you can pick it up and put it there and you're not running around. If you keep bumping your back into a wall every time you print, move it.
Yeah.
Because every time you bump it, it's interrupting you.
Yep.
Get good tools that save you time. You know, like just do, like if you cut a lot of transfers, you can get a little cutting board that we have on home and a company. And it's just like it, and it has measuring on it and it's flat and you just put the paper in there and you slide and it's cut rather than using scissors all the time. Maybe that makes sense for you.
But if you do use scissors, you should have sharp scissors.
Yeah. Sharpen your scissors. If you've been using the same pair of scissors that you've had since college, or high school or elementary school in kindergarten, your kindergarten scissors.
Kindergarten. I have like the rounded tip scissors. They're only an inch. My fingers don't even fit anymore.
Yeah. There's somebody out there cutting transfers with scissors like that. And
yeah,
they're dull. Absolutely. I mean, realistically.
Because they're cheaper.
Because they're cheaper. Yeah. Or we don't have to buy new ones or whatever it is. Or good scissors are actually expensive.
Yep.
They actually are. And I mean, relatively speaking, you know.
Okay.
So sharpen your scissors, do anything, you know, that just makes sense to kind of be efficient. If you do a lot of sleeves and legs, get a sleeve leg platen for your heat press machine.
Yeah.
You know, stop trying to make things work that eat up time, because your goal is to kind of maximize this time. So you and your business partner, the two of you want to make a certain amount of money. And part of getting there is going to be able to produce a bunch of apparel that you're going to sell to folks, right?
Yeah. I think it'd be a great idea if, you know, if you just stop in the doorway to your office or wherever you produce stuff and just look at the layout of what you have in front of you and pretend you were advising someone getting into the business. Like, how would you set things up? Mm-hmm. And as you go through a job, you know, well, like, why is my computer way over here? You know, my computer's in another room. You know, why is that the case? So like, I have to leave to answer emails while my embroidery machine is going. I can't tell if it stops. You know, is my, you know, when should I turn on my heat press? You know, should I turn on my heat press before I make dinner so it's ready to go by the time I'm printing, and or so I don't have to wait 20 minutes for it to warm up?
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, it's all about little efficiencies, because you, in the beginning, we talked about this, you're measuring your time, and then you're going to look at it and say, okay, well, I spent a bunch of time doing this. If I did this, I could probably save 10% of my time. That means I could prospect for more customers or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I like that.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm really fascinated with the way things instead of counting them, because I had never thought about this until you said something about it the other day.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where you could, I think we mentioned it about pre-treat, you know, being a liquid. It's hard to know how much you have left over. So weigh it when it's full and then weigh it again. And then you know if you've used half of it.
Yeah.
And it could be the same as lots of other things. If you can weigh a shirt and you know how, and I mean, shirts is hard because they're small and extra large and stuff, but assuming some things, you know, use your scale to help you out if you can, you know, just in general, be creative about finding ways to just save some time and be efficient.
Yeah. I like that. And getting smart software is actually a really good idea. Mm-hmm. We've got a conversation going in the Custom Apparel Startups group about how you manage your life. Like, what kind of software or systems do you use to manage your jobs and organize everything? And at Coldesi, we use Asana task management software for most stuff internally. We're using Monday.com as another way to do that. But we've got a lot of people that just have a whiteboard with post-it notes on it, you know, but whatever is the smart way to organize what you have to accomplish that you think you're going to do. I mean, that is efficiency squared.
Yeah.
If you're organized that way.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we've got like 5 minutes and two more things.
Okay.
And I think we'll probably pass 30 minutes, but we got five.
We are. My alarm went off several minutes ago.
Well, we got 5 minutes before I'm going to hang up. So
got it.
The next thing is, so set a goal, hit the goal, and move on to the next one. And what we mean by that is, if you want to get to 100,000 profit a year, just make your first goal getting to $20,000 in profit. Mm-hmm. When you hit that, look at what you did, do the math, track the time, look at the customers that you worked with, and then say, could I have done five times the amount of this in a year?
Yeah, I like that.
Now, if you hit that $20,000 in 2 months, then the answer is kind of theoretically yes.
Yeah.
If you hit it in a longer amount of time, you know, the answer theoretically is no. But maybe you just didn't put in enough work. Well, I was only working like 5 hours a week. I could work 15. Okay. Right. Well, boom. You know, so you got just have dials to look at push. All.
Now I'm gonna take the other way, and let's say that your goal is $40,000, and you made it this year. Mm-hmm. You made it this year. Now it's time to dial in the other direction. Okay, how could I reduce the number of hours I spend to make that? You know, by being more efficient, by not being cheap. Can I afford to invest in better systems? You know, do things differently this time.
Yeah.
You know, especially so next year I spent 15 hours, and now I can spend 5 hours a week.
Yeah. 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 And if it's a side hustle, that's fantastic. What if you could work 15 hours a week and take it down to five?
Yeah.
And make the same amount of money. I mean, that would be a definition of success if you wanted it to be there. On the flip side, you just completely go the other direction and say, I made the $40,000 I want working 15 hours a week. If I can improve my efficiency by 20%, maybe I can make $50,000.
Yeah. I like that.
So just kind of, I think it's important to take steps in your goals. Look at the profitability, look at the time, look at problems you can fix, and just figure out if you're heading on the right direction. And it's not, it doesn't necessarily need to be a race, right? You just figure out what your timeline is and what it looks like. And remember, it's your timeline. It's not anyone else's.
Yeah. I'd go back up to the top of the podcast and just kind of take a look, set your goals. Work towards them with that goal in mind. Remember, you don't have to like keep growing. You don't have to be big to be successful. You set your goals where you want them to be for your side hustle or your main business. Mm-hmm. And then you work towards that, not towards what somebody else thinks is success.
And then the last one is ask for advice and maybe take it.
I like that. Not from us.
No, just in general, you know, like ask other people who are in business, what do they do? What were their goals? What problems did they have? Here's a problem I'm having. How would you solve it?
Yeah.
And then listen, maybe take the advice, maybe not. Maybe just say, okay, I see what they did. Doesn't fit for me. Or I see what they did. I don't want that. It doesn't reach my goal.
Yeah.
It's not part of my plan. You know, because maybe they said, I just started just working with a lot of lawyers. And then you say, okay, not going to do that one. But maybe I should just adjust my customer base and not just work with people who fish. Maybe I can go into boating and
noodling. I'm always disappointed when you don't use noodling, for example. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's fun. All right, folks. I really appreciate everyone that listens and shares our podcast. We get new listeners all the time. It's been really successful for Mark Vila and I. It's been very rewarding to talk to you guys on sometimes a weekly basis about how we can improve your business. And if you like that, then and if you benefit from it, just share it with friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And to wrap this up, my final thought on this is, you know, there's no magic bullet. There's no exact way to do business, you know, so find out what your kind of goal is, what you want to do, build it out, make it happen, and keep listening to this podcast. And, you know, maybe sometimes take our advice, but I think over a bunch of episodes, you'll learn a bunch of different things that'll really help you out. And I think, hopefully we can keep doing that for you.
All right. This has been Mark Stevenson
and Mark Vila.
You guys have a great business.